Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, July 17, 2015. President Kiir meets state governors to discuss insecurity, soaring food prices and sold in the country.
Let us find the best way to approach the insecurity in the country. And the best way is only to understand ourselves, to forgive each other, and to reconcile among ourselves in case somebody has done wrong.
And panelists at a Juba debate say they are not optimistic that peace talks led by IGAD will produce a deal to end the fighting in South Sudan.
They start with the question of a president-prime minister combination. After 6 months, they go to president-vice president combination. That is also not good for the mediation, because the mediator should be able to put together the points of agreement between the parties, try to narrow the gap of disagreement.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The governor of Western Equatorial State says he is disappointed that nearly 40 young men arrested in the state are still being held in an undisclosed location in Juba. VOA fellow Tito Justin reports the youth were arrested last month after clashes broke out between cattle keepers and civilians in Maridi County.
Governor Joseph Bakasore returned to his state yesterday after meeting with President Salva Kiir earlier this week in Juba to discuss insecurity. President Kiir summoned the governors of 10 states to talk about the matters and come up with the solutions. Among the issues discussed include a lack of police protection and professionalism in the security sector, poor roads, and a weak judicial system. Bakasore says governors are particularly concerned about killings and revenge attacks in the states. Last month in Western Equatoria's Maridi County, 11 civilians were killed and hundreds of others fled the area when cattle keepers from neighboring states arrived without permission to graze their cattle in agricultural areas. Bakasore says the South Sudan Army intervened, arresting 36 youths, but he does not know where they are being held.
Up to this moment, I don't know. I don't have any idea because I'm not responsible for the arrest. I don't know the reason why they were arrested, and I don't know even who arrested them. That is very disappointing.
Bakasore accused the officers who arrested the youth of being unprofessional.
They even deny who gave order for the arrest. So, in fact, probably we don't have the rule of law. That means our police is a bit weak because they are not facilitated well. And as such, lawlessness has become the order of the day.
Bakasore says he has no idea why the youths were arrested and wants them freed.
We are still asking the national government to tell us where they are. But we were so much concentrated in the security meeting that we were unable even to try to go to different locations to find where they are.
The meeting in Juba resolved that the governors should urge their citizens to put down their weapons and stop looting and killing citizens from other ethnic communities. The governors also offered their own recommendations for ways to resolve the insecurity across the country.
We agreed that let us find the best way to approach the insecurity in the country. And the best way is only to understand ourselves, to forgive each other, and to reconcile among ourselves in case somebody has done wrong, and also to allow all the cattle that are causing us insecurity to move out of the state.
The conflict in Western Equatorial State has forced many schools to close and prompted hundreds of civilians to leave their homes and flee to neighboring area. Bakasore says the area is now calm and encouraged civilians to return home and resume their normal activities. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Washington.
East African bloc IGAD, which has been trying for a year and a half to restore peace in South Sudan, says it has come up with a compromise peaceful deal for the young nation. In a letter and a draft agenda sent out this week, IGAD also says that the peace talks for South Sudan will resume on August 6, and a final peace deal will be signed on August 17 at a summit meeting of the Expanded Mediation Team for South Sudan, known as IGAD Plus. IGAD Special Envoy for South Sudan, Seyoum Masfin, says in a letter that the draft compromise agreement will be handed over at a meeting in Addis Ababa next Friday to negotiators for the South Sudan government, former Vice President Riek Machar's opposition movement, and the former detainees. Seyoum says the handover ceremony will be attended by the representatives of IGAD Plus, which is made up of the United States and its South Sudan Troika partners, the United Kingdom and Norway, the United Nations, the European Union, the African Union, China, and five African nations. Seyoum did not go into detail about what the compromise agreement includes. IGAD says peace talks for South Sudan will resume at the beginning of August after the negotiating teams have consulted with their leaders about the draft compromise agreement. What will hopefully be a lasting peace agreement to end the conflict in South Sudan is expected to be signed in mid-August, 20 months after South Sudan plunged into violence in December. Meanwhile, participants at a public discussion about the IGAD-led peace process say they are not optimistic that the regional bloc will be able to deliver peace to South Sudan anytime soon. For VOA News, Charlton Doki reports from Juba.
The name of yesterday's discussion, which was organized by the SAD Institute, was suitably pessimistic. It was called the Mediation Pendulum and Diminishing Prospects for Peace in South Sudan. SAD Institute policy analyst Abraham Awolich led the discussion. He says the two main sides in the South Sudanese peace talks are at odds over which is the best way forward. Awolich says the government thinks it's important to reunify the ruling SPLM, which splintered into rival factions when the fighting broke out 19 months ago. But the rebels don't see much benefit for themselves in putting into effect the party reunification deal agreed in Arusha, Tanzania in January.
The government clearly prefers the Arusha process because it produces results that are favoring its position. But for the opposition, the Arusha process offers little incentive to them, simply because if the problem is addressed through the Arusha and through the party, you have only three people in that camp who are members of the SPLM leadership, and that is Riek Machar, Taban Denga, and maybe Alfred Ladogore. Everyone else doesn't really have a good membership or a good standing in the party.
Opposition leader Lam Akol was one of the panelists at the discussion. He says he believes the Arusha reunification talks and the Addis Ababa talks should be seen as complementary efforts to end the violence, not as competing negotiations.
No party should try to pick one and leave the other. There are positive things in Arusha that are not in Addis.
Akol also accuses the heads of states of some IGAD countries of slowing down the peace process.
If you notice, in a span of 9 months, you had more than six summits. This makes things difficult for the mediators. I remember the August meeting when the mediators came with a proposal. The heads of the state came and changed it without even them knowing.
Akol also faults IGAD mediators for what he says is their inconsistency. He says the mediators have been moving the goalposts in the middle of the game. He says they have changed course on everything from how the talks should be held to how Mr. Kiir and Machar should share power.
For example, they started with an inclusive process. They ended up bilateral. They started with the question of presenting a president-prime minister combination. They, after 6 months, they go to president-vice president combination. That is also not good for the mediation because the mediator, as I said from the beginning, should be able to put together the points of agreement between the parties, try to narrow the gap of the points of disagreement.
Awolich says he believes another reason the IGAD-led process has achieved very little is because from the very beginning of the talks back in January last year, mediators framed the conflict as a power struggle between President Salva Kiir and his former deputy Riek Machar. Consequently, Awolich says, mediators have spent too much time trying to find a way for the two men to share power once the fighting stops, instead of trying to stop the fighting. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
Waki Simon Woodu spoke with other analysts, individuals familiar with South Sudan, and even the lead government negotiator to find out why they think no peace deal has been reached in spite of the 18 months of effort that have been invested in the IGAD-led talks.
The last round of talks in March was supposed to be the final chance for President Salva Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar to reach a binding peace deal. But those talks sputtered to an end in Addis Ababa on March 6 with no peace agreement signed. As with many issues in South Sudan's conflict, the question of why the talks have dragged on and on has turned into a blame game. Onyote Adigo is the leader of the minority in the national legislature. He blames both sides in the conflict for the lack of meaningful progress towards peace.
The government and the rebels are not trusting themselves. They have no political will for them to commit themselves for peace. Their only thing which they are after is positions.
Government chief negotiator Nyal Deng Nyal says Machar's rebels are to blame for the failure to reach a deal. He says the SPLM in opposition is already looking to change the system that will be established after the conflict is over instead of focusing on restoring peace.
For example, the rebels continue to insist that they would like to see the transition period established with institution of federal rule immediately. They are also demanding that fundamental reforms must be carried out. Instituting federal reform, federal rule in the Republic of South Sudan is a process. It's not an event. Normally what happens is that people agree on the parameters of the process.
He also blames regional bloc IGAD, which is leading the peace talks, for the lack of a deal.
IGAD puts on the table proposals that they know full well would be extremely difficult to accommodate. The only conclusion we can draw is that perhaps IGAD may not be clear as to what is required in order to achieve peace.
The SPLM in opposition was contacted for this story, but did not get back to us with a comment. Civil society activist Jame David points the finger of blame for the slow-moving peace process at some of South Sudan's neighbors.
Those who constitute IGAD and the powerful countries in the region, I think some countries are considered to be those that are having a specific interest. And therefore, as far as the negotiation is concerned, their influence in the process seems to be sabotaging the progress of IGAD.
A report released last month by the U.S.-based Enough Project said IGAD members Uganda, Kenya, Sudan and Ethiopia want any peace agreement for South Sudan to be in line with their interests in South Sudan. Thomas Wanikundu is a lawmaker in the National Legislature and a chairman of the Information Committee. He says there is yet another roadblock that is slowing down the peace process, and that is divisions in the ruling party.
The SPLM leaders should come together. Let us come as a party first. Once we come together as SPLM to the line of the party to pursue our mission and vision, then the rest of the problem that has resulted to the catastrophe of 15 December can be addressed easily.
But Africa scholar Amir Idris, who is from South Sudan, said in an interview with the South Sudan in Focus last month that reunifying the SPLM before restoring peace is just more time wasting.
It seems to me it's utterly irresponsible to waste precious times that it could be diverted to resolve the underlying causes of the problems, which I guess intends allow people of South Sudan to chart out a bright future.
But Kundu notes that it took years of negotiations before the Comprehensive Peace Agreement was signed in 2005, ending more than two decades of war with Sudan. What he is saying, in other words, is if Rome wasn't built in a day, neither will peace in South Sudan be. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wodo in Juba.
South Sudan in Focus web editor Karen Zaivogo contributed to that story from Washington. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Muslims across South Sudan take part in Ramadan festival despite the ongoing conflict. That story after this.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
does paying dowry for a bride make sense these days?
Actually, it's a tradition and it's very important in the African traditional culture. Like, you can't go just to someone's home just like that. Something has to be given in compensation. Eh? But then it's so surprising these days, as in people make marriages as a business.
That's the difficult one now, because I have daughters myself. I don't know. As an individual, I think it doesn't make any sense to me, because assuming that you get, say, what we have here, cows, even if you get 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, do you really value these cows against your daughter?
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus. South Sudanese Muslims are marking the end of the holy month of Ramadan, even though their country is still at war. They say they are celebrating Eid al-Fitr with as much joy and gratitude as possible and remain hopeful that next year they will celebrate the end of Ramadan in peace. Philip Thornaleu has the story for VOA from Juba.
Sheikh Juma Said Ali is one of the leaders of the Muslim community in Central Equatorial State. Ali says he is disappointed that the warring sides have not signed a final peace agreement before the Eid al-Fitr celebrations will begin this weekend. Ali says South Sudan's Muslims share the same longing for peace and stability that other faith groups in the country have.
All South Sudanese now, everyone start to talk to himself why we are fighting, why we are not sitting down and solve our problem. As a South Sudanese, I think that the voice which needed peace is more than those who wanted the war.
During the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which began this year on June 17th, Muslims not only fast during the daylight hours and break their fast in the evening after the sun goes down. Ali says they also focus on helping those in need. He says Muslim leaders urge traders during this Ramadan to increase imports of food items which have been scarce in South Sudanese markets for months now.
They brought many, many, many things, many different things in their shops. And then we told them that because it is a great month, so they're supposed to help a community, they're supposed to help the people in South Sudan to reduce the prices and then to bring a different goods so that the people fast in this Ramadan without any difficulty.
The scarcity of goods have been blamed on the 19-month-old conflict, on a strong dollar and weak South Sudanese pounds, and on South Sudan's shaky economy. Ali says importing more food items helped the Muslim community in South Sudan to overcome challenges faced by higher prices and the deteriorating economy. He says Muslim leaders are pressing merchants to continue importing food items even after the end of Ramadan. Western Bahr al-Ghazal has one of the largest Muslim populations in South Sudan. Its members coexist peacefully with Christian residents. During Eid al-Fitr festivities, Muslims invite their Christian neighbors to share the traditional meal that marks the end of the holy month of Ramadan. Hawa Ahmed Ali is a wife and mother of seven. This morning, trays and trays of cakes that she prepared for the Eid feast are cooling near her outdoor oven. There are also cakes in her kitchen and sitting room, in every available space in her home in Wau. Ali says she is spending £1,000 more for the Eid celebrations than she spent last year. She is buying new outfits for her children and making sure there is enough food for the many friends and family who will come to her home. She says she has to spend more money because prices have gone up so much in the past year.
Everything in the market is expensive. Last year, the cost was better. This year, since the beginning of Ramadan up to the end, it has cost me nearly 3,000 South Sudanese pounds for the family.
Only around 6% of South Sudan people are Muslim. The majority of South Sudanese are Christians. Many shops in the country are owned by Muslim traders from neighboring countries. In many markets in Wau, hundreds of shoppers quiz at Kois and Chop yesterday to buy flour, oil and sugar to get ready for the East Peace. Others were buying watermelon, another treat that Sosrenis enjoy eating with their evening meal to break the fast during Ramadan and at Eid celebrations. Western Barra Ghazal farmers say they sold thousands of watermelon each day during Ramadan. A strong demand for the juicy fruit pushed prices up to 70 Sosrenis pounds per melon. Abubakar Musa grows watermelon on his farm just outside Wau. He says he is cutting the price of watermelon so that everyone can enjoy one during their Eid feast.
Yesterday, a lot of watermelon was brought to market, but few were bought. We now sell melons for 30 or 25 pounds because we want to ensure that those with little money can take one home for this feast.
Early this morning, hundreds of Muslims gathered at Maulid Square for the last Friday during Ramadan. Western Barra Ghazal State Governor Rizik Zakaria Hassan, who is himself a Muslim, urged those in the square to ask Allah for forgiveness and for peace and unity to be restored in the country.
Let us forgive each other, as we, the government in Western Barra Ghazal State, want to ask you to forgive us if we have not done well by you. Let us accept one another. We ask you to forgive us, and we sincerely apologize to God.
Sheikh Ali says more high-ranking officials and religious leaders should follow Rezik's example and seek forgiveness from the people and Allah. He says he hopes the next Eid al-Fitr will be marked without the sound of guns anywhere in South Sudan.
We are asking God that we want this period to be next year, and then we're in a peaceful way, and then we're in a peace in South Sudan.
For VOA News, I am Philip Tonaleo in Juba.
Dimo Silva Aurelio contributed to this report from WOW. This September will mark the end of the UN Millennium Development Goals and the beginning of the Sustainable Development Goals. One of the proposed 17 goals calls for ensuring healthy lives and promoting well-being for all. Excuse me, let me take that again. As the State Department renews a warning of possible terrorist attacks in neighboring Kenya, U.S. President Barack Obama heads to East Africa next week, and counterterrorism is high on his agenda. VOA's Aru Pandi has more from White House.
During his 2013 visit to Senegal, South Africa, and Tanzania, President Obama announced initiatives boosting U.S. cooperation in trade, investment, and infrastructure on the continent. Mr. Obama says his trip to Kenya and Ethiopia is aimed at sending a similar message that the United States is a strong partner, not just for the two nations, but also for sub-Saharan Africa.
Build on the progress that's been made around issues of health and education, focus on counterterrorism issues that are important in East Africa because of Al-Shabaab and some of the tragedies that have happened inside of Kenya.
The U.S. president's first visit to his ancestral homeland comes amid continued deadly attacks in Kenya by Al-Shabaab, and just days after the reopening of Nairobi's Westgate Mall, where militants gunned down 67 people in a 2013 siege. Counterterrorism factors into Mr. Obama's visit to African Union headquarters in neighboring Ethiopia, the first visit to the East African country by a sitting U.S. president. Jeffrey Smith with Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights says the U.S. sees Ethiopia as a key ally in the region, particularly in the fight against Al-Shabaab.
And Ethiopia is really seen as a bulwark against that, not only in terms of regional cooperation, but contributing troops to AU peacekeeping missions as well across the continent. So in that regard, and particularly their role in the Sudan crisis, the South Sudan crisis, their role is sort of being seen as a regional mediator.
But Smith says President Obama's visit sends the wrong message, citing Ethiopia's repressive regime.
What many people don't know is Ethiopia is the fourth most censored country in the world. They're the second largest jailer of journalists on the entire continent, second only to Eritrea, their next-door neighbor.
Atlantic Council's Bronwyn Bruton, who has met with Muslim democratic activists in Ethiopia, some who were recently found guilty of terrorism, also calls President Obama's trip a mistake.
The fact that Ethiopia is getting a visit from President Obama in the wake of that guilty verdict and in the wake of sweeping the elections, taking 100% of the seats, sends a disastrous message to the Ethiopian government.
A senior Obama administration official tells VOA the United States regularly communicates its human rights concerns with the Ethiopian government, both in public and in private. The official says, quote, "We engage so that we can urge and shape behavior in these areas." Aru Pandey, VOA News at the White House.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of our top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. The governor of Western Equatoria State wants nearly 40 youths recently arrested in his state to be freed. The men have been detained at an undisclosed location in Juba. Governor Joseph Bakasoro returned to Western Equatoria yesterday after meeting with President Salva Kiir earlier in the week in the capital of Juba to discuss insecurity as well as skyrocketing prices for food and other goods. President Kiir summoned the governors of all 10 states to talk about insecurity and to come up with recommendations for solving the problem. The clashes broke out between cattle keepers and civilians after cattle keepers from neighboring states entered Western Equatoria State without permission to graze their cattle where farmers had planted crops. East African bloc IGAD says it has put forward a compromise peace agreement that it says will be accepted by South Sudan's two warring parties. In a letter issued this week, IGAD also says the talks will resume on August 6th and that a final peace deal will be signed on August 17th at a summit meeting of the expanded mediation team for South Sudan known as IGAD Plus. IGAD Special Envoy for South Sudan, Sayoum Mesfin, says the draft agreement will be handed over to negotiators for the South Sudan government, former Vice President Riek Machar's representatives, and the former detainees in a ceremony in Addis Ababa next week. He says the handover ceremony will be attended by representatives of other countries involved in the peace process, including the United States, Britain, and Norway. And finally, South Sudanese Muslims are preparing to mark the end of Ramadan, even while fighting continues in parts of the country. They say they intend to celebrate with as much exuberance as possible and remain hopeful that the country will be at peace this time around next year. Sheikh Juma Said Ali is one of the leaders of the Muslim community in central Equatoria State. Ali says he's disappointed that the warring parties have yet to sign a final peace agreement before Ramadan celebrations begin this weekend. And that's a look at some of our top stories today. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Nani Ongere by Colonel Mido. This one goes out to our listeners in Eastern Equatorial State.
Nani olo ngere.
We have been listening to Colonel Mido with the song Nani Ongere. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Have a peaceful weekend and join us again next week when we bring you another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I am an Ibalo.